Welcome on this Christmas Eve, and a Merry Christmas to all of you. A few announcements about the service. In no particular order, some things you need to be aware of. Reminder that when it comes time for the children to sing Away in a Manger, those guest children that are with us, we will invite you down when it's time to sing Away in a Manger. At that point, you can come down, and we'll be happy to have you sing with us. Please also note in the service folder, the second reading of the Christmas Gospel does not begin at St. Luke chapter 2, verse 4, but St. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. So we will hear verses 1 through 7 first, and then 8 through 20. When you leave tonight, families with children, if you leave out these doors and through the parish hallway, we will have treat bags for the children, so be sure that they get one of those before you go. Don't forget, we have services, again, another service tonight at 7, service tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, first Sunday after Christmas, this coming Sunday at 9:30, and then, of course, New Year's Eve at 7 o'clock. At the end of the service, the ushers will release you, so please be seated until they dismiss you. And again, you may either exit out the back of the church or the front of the church, which either you prefer. And then remember, when it comes time for the Lord's Supper, we want to be spaced at the communion rail, so be aware of that distance between households. Also, when it comes time for the Lord's Supper, we commune those who are presently members of our congregation or another congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you're not, you're still welcome to come to the communion rail, and I'll be happy to bless you in connection with the death and resurrection of Jesus and the waters of holy baptism. I don't think anything else needs to be said, so we rise. We begin with the Confession and Absolution, page 184 in your hymnals. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
The Old Testament reading for this Christmas Eve is recorded in the prophet Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Set us astray.
The epistle is recorded in Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cornelius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem in the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
At this time, all the children can come down and sing away in a manger with us. Come on down and you can come and sing.
Thank you.
and the shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened that the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger.
When they had seen him, they spread the word coming what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all things they had seen, which were just as they had been told.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for this Christmas Eve is recorded in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9. I read again verse 2. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined." Dear Christians, again, a Merry Christmas to all of you. As you know, earlier this year, President-elect Joe Biden said, "We are preparing for a dark winter." He, like others, anticipated that the virus would run wild once winter came. People were forced inside and gathered together with their families to celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas. He meant that because of the virus, this winter would be dark with sickness and death, with loneliness and depression, with unemployment and financial hardship. Well, the prophet Isaiah writes about people walking in darkness. He writes about people dwelling in a land of deep darkness. Darkness in the Bible often refers to sin, but it also refers to unbelief and disobedience, to violence and lovelessness, to sickness and suffering, to poverty and famine, to death and to the grave, to everything really that follows on the heels of sin. It is descriptive of a life lived apart from God and under the dominion of the prince of darkness and the curse of sin. And so it was for Isaiah's original audience. So it was for the Jewish tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali, what we know as the region of Galilee. They were the northernmost tribes of Israel on the west side of the Jordan River. And so it was their borders that were crossed, their cities that were ransacked, their houses that were burned, their crops that were destroyed, their possessions that were stolen, and their citizens that were killed or enslaved by the Syrians, their enemies and neighbors to the north. They were the first to witness the conquering power of the Assyrian Empire and to experience crushing defeat at the hands of the Assyrian army when it swept through the northern kingdom, occupied Israel, and hauled off their people into captivity. Those folks in Galilee were no strangers to suffering and death, to poverty and loss, to violence and oppression, to distress and anguish. They were indeed a people walking in darkness and dwelling in a land of deep darkness. And yet the suffering they experienced was self-inflicted. It was the just consequence they received for forsaking the Lord and refusing to walk in his ways, for following after wicked kings and worshiping false gods. 2020 has been a dark year for many of us. And it's not just the virus and the sickness and death that it has brought to our own people and to our neighbors around the world. It's the way the virus has been exploited by those in authority to manipulate their citizens, to restrict our rights, and to secure power for themselves. It's the economic distress that it has brought to employers and employees alike. It's the mental illness and the addictive and abusive behaviors that the isolation and the loneliness and the stress have spawned. It's all of those other illnesses that have gone undiagnosed and untreated because of limited access to health care. This year, too, we sense that we are a people walking in darkness, that we dwell in a land of deep darkness. And while the virus and everything that has come along with it is not the result of some specific sin that you or I have committed, it is most certainly the result of sin. Adam and Eve's sin, the sin we inherited from our parents, the sins that we willfully, even gleefully, commit against others and that they commit against us. And in that way, the darkness of this year is also self-inflicted. It is the consequence of the idolatry and disobedience, which is as old as the Garden of Eden and in which we ourselves have been participants. But Isaiah peers far into the future, centuries into the future. And in the midst of all of this darkness, Isaiah proclaims a light that will be seen by those walking in darkness, a light that will shine on those dwelling in a land of deep darkness. And the coming of that light is so sure and certain that Isaiah speaks of it in the past tense. as though it has already come and has already shined its light on sinners. And that light, of course, is the Lord Jesus. You know, I had to laugh a couple of months ago when I read a review of Taylor Swift's latest album, Evermore. One reviewer commented, "As the darkness closes in, Taylor Swift is the light that we need." Really? I mean, please, give me a break. I mean, maybe you're a Taylor Swift fan, and maybe you like her new album, and maybe you'll even get it for Christmas. But Taylor Swift is not the light that we need as the darkness closes in on us. Isaiah was not writing about Taylor Swift. And while her recordings might provide some enjoyment and even momentary distraction from the stresses and struggles of this year and this life, that's about the best she can do. And the same is true of the vaccines that have been developed and are now being distributed throughout the country. They are not the light that we need in the darkness of this sinful world. They are not the Savior that we've been waiting for, although some people act as though they are. They may be able to save us from getting the virus, but they cannot save us from death. They cannot stave off the grave forever. No, Jesus is the light that we need. Jesus is the light of the world that dawned upon our pitiful planet on Christmas Eve when he was born. Jesus, the light of the world, began shining in earnest when he, the Word, became flesh and began dwelling among us in this land of deep darkness. Jesus, the light of the world, began shining his light on those walking in darkness when he was born to be our Emmanuel, God with us. While Jesus was still in Mary's womb, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, prophesied that Jesus would give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. St. John, in his Christmas gospel, as we will hear later, says of Jesus, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus shined, and Jesus still shines his light in the darkness. He shines the light of his forgiveness upon us sinners, the forgiveness that he won for us on that dark Good Friday when he bore our sins in his own body on the cross, the forgiveness that he secured for us when he endured the punishment and the death that our sin had earned, the forgiveness that he purchased for us when he gave his sinless body into death, poured out his holy blood, and was laid to rest in a dank, dark tomb. It appeared, at least for a time, that the light of the world had been snuffed out. It appeared that Jesus, the light of the world that had shined so brightly with divine love and mercy, had fizzled out and would never shine again. It appeared that the world and those who dwell in it would sink back into the darkness of sin and death and be overcome by it. But on Easter Sunday, when the sun rose and began to shine, so did Jesus. And now our risen Lord Jesus shines his light forever. On this Christmas night, in the midst of this dark winter, Jesus is shining. He shines his light into our sinful and dying world, promising that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He shines his light upon our frail bodies, our distressed minds, and our wounded souls, promising to raise and renew our bodies, giving our minds that peace which the world simply cannot give, and healing our wounded souls by cleansing us from all unrighteousness. He shines his light on the unemployed, the underemployed, and the business owner who is barely scraping by, with his promise that our Heavenly Father gives good things to those who ask him, including daily bread. He shines his light upon all who feel the heavy hand of power-hungry authorities, and he assures us that in the end, every knee must bow before him, that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and that unlike them, he is a king who shepherds his people, and whose kingdom is marked by peace and joy
and hope in the Holy Spirit. Jesus shines his light on us from the lectern and the pulpit where the Holy Scriptures are read and preached. He shines his light on us from the baptismal font where he first called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He shines his light on us from the altar where the word that became flesh still is in our midst and present beneath bread and wine. He shines on us as he gives us his body to eat and his blood to drink, the same body and the same blood that was laid in a manger and that hung on the cross to save us. He shines his light on us as again tonight we sing and speak into one another ears and hearts the good news of great joy first spoken and sung by the angels on Christmas Eve. Joe Biden may be right. It may be a dark winter. But as long as Jesus is shining his light on us, we will endure this dark winter and every other dark winter of our lives until that day when we ourselves shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.